I would always encourage people before you start self-promoting, ask yourself, why are you self-promoting? What does good look like for you? And what are you hoping to achieve in the long run? Naturally, as a result of the pandemic, there were a lot of people close to me that struggled with their mental health. So I think that also took a toll on how I was able to do my job. And I think I realized the impact it had on me. And I actually went to therapy during the pandemic to help be a better supporter for other people because I felt like a lot was being piled on. I think trying to create that space for people to be heard and then really asking them, like, what could I do to help you today is such an overlooked question. And I think it could help and resolve a lot of situations. There's two extremes, right? So you work super, super, super hard and you get burnt out, or you slow down where you feel like you're not needed enough. And that's like a really hard thing that I'm trying to navigate at the moment, which is like trying to say yes to a lot of great things, but not to the point of burnout, and then taking time for rest and thinking and all of those things.
Hello, and welcome to Same Shit, Different Brain Series 3. I hope you've had a good few months and you're starting to enjoy the festive season in all its joy while keeping your mental health in check. I've been hosting my first ever live events for Same Shit Different Brain, which is very exciting. How to Make Friends and Find Communities, which I've put on twice now, and it's been so, so lovely getting to interview panels of speakers in real life, meeting some wonderful guests who attended, and seeing new friendships being made. So this time, for the first episode of this series, I speak to Steph Sword-Williams. Steph is founder and author of Fuck Being Humble, the incredible platform and career bible helping people be unapologetically proud of their achievements and overcome the fear of self-promotion. In Steph's own words, Fuck Being Humble is a mindset to adopt to make sure you never miss out on an opportunity because you were too modest. Steph saw a lack of representation in the creative industries during her advertising career and decided she didn't want to sell people things they don't need anymore, so she made it her mission to celebrate amazing talent. Her motivational talks and workshops help individuals to know their worth and feel empowered in their professional development. Since starting Fuck Being Humble in 2018, becoming a worldwide public speaker and hosting her own radio shows, podcasts and endless events, Steph's been named one of Forbes' 30 Under 30, delivered a TEDx talk and partnered with global brands from Google to Warner Music, Kerastase to NatWest and Estée Lauder. Steph's also founded the community platform This Might Help, providing peer-to-peer support for everyday carers who are helping people in their lives experiencing mental health challenges, trauma and sexual assault. I can vouch for Fuck Being Humble being one of the most inspiring and useful books you'll ever read. You'll note down endless practical tips and you'll want to come back to it again and again over your career, honestly, so it will not gather dust on your bookshelf. Steph's webinars, content and resources also deliver tons of valuable advice for successful self-development and getting your money mindset on point. She really does pull the ladder up for others and genuinely champions a diverse array of voices, using her platform to be a real ally for other women. I had a one-to-one mentoring session with Steph as part of the free career support she offered out to her followers this year, and it was just great, let me tell you. I took so many notes down, and it just says it all about her passion for supporting rising talent. With more people like Steph leading the way, we could have a chance of changing this notion that we should be embarrassed to shout about the awesome things we achieve. So I hope you enjoy it, and if you like the show, please take a minute to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or rate it on Spotify. So thank you very much for being with us, Steph. If you'd like to give a quick intro for anyone that isn't familiar to who you are and what you do.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me. I'm the founder and author of Fuck Being Humble, and I also recently founded This Might Help. Fuck Being Humble is a self-promotion business that helps people be unapologetically proud of their achievements and get over the fear of self-promoting and putting themselves forward for opportunities in career, in your work, and just making sure that you sort of communicate your worth in whatever you do. And This Might Help is a business that I set up to help people who are supporting others through mental health, trauma, and sexual assault. And this was really born out of the insight that many people don't have support when they are caring for others. And I think it's something that we're going to need to start looking at more so and find more ways of support to help those people during those situations.
Amazing. Thank you. So I'll start off with an easy one. How is your day going today, Steph?
It's going pretty nice and chilled. I actually slept very well and I feel very refreshed. Good. I was pretty exhausted yesterday, so it's nice to wake up feeling a lot fresher.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know what? I've slept so much this week after coming back from London. I can't even blame a hangover because I've not been drinking the last couple of months. So, but it just takes it out of you like a big city break, doesn't it? And imagine living in the city. There's always things going on as well. Quite an exciting place to be in personal and professional life.
Yeah, definitely.
So what led you to first start Fuck Being Humble? I know you set up in 2020, was it? Just pre-pandemic? I think that's around the time I started following your work.
So I actually started in 2018. And it was as a side hustle. And I set it up around my advertising job. And it was mainly because I was attending a lot of networking events. And I was just finding that the rooms I was in weren't hugely inspirational. And I was finding a lot of the people that spoke on the panels looked very similar and sounded very similar. And I knew that I was, you know, from the north, and I had a lot that I wanted to share, but I could see myself possibly not getting the opportunity to public speak or share my stories because I wasn't some sort of big founder or author or entrepreneur. So I sort of wanted to, I always say it very directly, like just make networking events not shit, because I think so many people just write off networking because they like hate the word, they've experienced it badly once and they never want to do it again. And one of the things that I was noticing a lot was that I was helping a lot of my friends with their CVs or their portfolios or applying for jobs. And mainly because I'd been working in advertising, I had the confidence to know how to sell myself and sell the company and my clients. So I became a bit of an agony aunt to a lot of my friends. And I thought that if they need that support, I'm sure there's more people that need that support, but also the support in a way that it's not like really cheesy. I think professional development is so often, it's got like a very American tone, and that's what puts people off. But I've really tried with everything I've done with Fuck Being Humble to create content that actually resonates with people. So I started it in 2018, grew it as a side hustle, worked on it for 2 years. And then just before the pandemic, I quit my job to be a full-time speaker and all events got cancelled. So that was a fun time. And then I've been growing it ever since. So this year was the fourth year birthday.
You've just reminded me. I did see that. And I remember reading in your book about when you were like balancing your job with starting this up on the side. And I just thought, wow, like finding the time for all that is really inspirational. Like reading about you finding like stands at trade events and things and mocking up your designs and going along there in your spare time. And I think it's a really good lesson for people to not wait until the time is perfect and think, right, I'll quit my job once I've got enough experience and then I'll do this and I'll do this, which I did a little bit. But then I was working somewhere, but I think the pandemic just gave me that bit more space to think, right, I can do something else now in my spare time. Now life has slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, I think the pandemic was a weird time for everyone. I think some people slowed down altogether and some people found that slowness a bit too much to handle. So they started working on podcasts and side hustles. And I actually think they say that like so many amazing brands and businesses have come out of a recession and they've come out of these difficult times. And I think we're going to see the same again after the past few years.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think these days with, you know, it's not the same in industries anymore where you have a job for life and people can rely on a job or even expect that from a job. So it's nice that people are sort of taking the destiny into their own hands a lot more. And your book, like I knew it was going to be great, but I was surprised how many like really actionable tips there were. And I was like, oh my God, like I could actually read this multiple times over the course of like my own professional development and still keep taking something new from it. And like, obviously the amazing contributors that you had in there as well. It was nice to see a variety there of people applying it to their careers and different careers.
Yeah. I think when we first launched the book, it was very like, this is the book that you're going to have by your bedside table forever, because whenever you feel like you're nervous because you've got to give a presentation or you're getting rejections from applying for jobs or you want to ask for a pay rise or a promotion, all those things, it's just such a good piece of content to pick up whenever you need it, sort of thing. And I think That's one of the nicest sort of compliments I get about the book, is that it's one of those things that people keep coming back to, because I have so many professional development books that just sit on my shelf and I probably don't pick up that often. Yeah. So it's nice when people say that they've marker penned every page, or they've put loads of post-it notes on the pages that are most important and they come back to that, because I think that's exactly what I wanted to try and achieve.
Yeah. 100%. I think I've had that with one other book. Like, I'm like you, I've got loads sitting on my shelf, but I think you might have mentioned this in your book, You Are a Badass with Money.
Yeah.
It's a good one, isn't it? Like, so many people reference that book, and it's one that I've thought, wow, yeah, I'll go back to that. So many useful insights in that, and just sort of really leaves you feeling pumped to make a change and feel like you can do it as well.
Yeah, no, it's a great book, that one.
So I would also love to hear more about This Might Help. I know you've touched on it a little bit, and what led this to be your next project.
So I've actually been working on This Might Help for years in my head. I've always known I wanted to start it. And I think out of the back of the pandemic, where we know more people have been affected by mental health and trauma, it felt even more timely to be working on it. Things were a bit quiet at the start of the year with Fuck Being Humble, and I'd sort of been toying with starting it. Should I wait? Should I not? And I've really wanted to just get going with it. So yeah, for anyone who's not seen anything about it, the goal with This Might Help is to share resources that could help anybody that is supporting someone else. So if you're supporting your boyfriend with anxiety, or a parent through suicide, or a friend who is struggling with depression, or somebody who opens up to you about sexual assault, there's actually no one designated place to go to find answers on how to handle that situation, what you should and shouldn't say, things to avoid, things that will comfort them. You know, there's actually nowhere. There's lots of amazing charities that are looking after each of those different issues, but there's not one consolidated space where you can go to learn what OCD actually means, or, you know, what are the side effects of anxiety, and how long might someone have suicidal thoughts. You know, there's not really that one place. So I really wanted to create mainly an online platform. So thismighthelpus.com, you can go check it out. There's lots of resources, from books to videos, to guides, to Instagram accounts, anything that I've found and that has been submitted to me also. Because I think what's really important is that so many people, when I tell them, oh, I've supported someone through this experience, they've said to me, oh, you should read this book, or you should check out this TV show, or you should watch this film. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody has a reference that could support someone else. So a big part of growing This Might Help is about getting other people to submit their recommendations of resources, and regularly clubbing together to try and gather that information all in one place. Because I think that's going to be something, when you are supporting people through that, you're already losing so much emotional energy and resource yourself, that you want the actual process of research and finding help for yourself to be as easy as possible. So that was sort of the main goal. If it's only ever a website and an Instagram account, I'll be super proud to have created it. But I think something I'd really like to do is create my own podcast for it, and video content that can really speak to the different experiences of mental health, trauma, and sexual assault.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea, because thinking of it in terms of the people who are helping other people or carers of other people, you know, there's all this obviously accepted view now that we need to talk, we need to open up to each other more, but then there needs to be a listening ear there to open up to, and a listening ear that feels comfortable or equipped to then help that person in some way. And where do you start? Like, there's such like vast wealth of information now on the internet around mental health. So yeah, it sounds really fantastic, and I'm looking forward to seeing more from it.
Thank you.
And what do you think has been the most rewarding aspects of your work with Fuck Being Humble so far?
It's always a tricky question, because there's been so many amazing things that have come from growing the business and so many things that I'm proud of. But I think still consistently to this day, it's always getting the messages from people to say like, oh, I just negotiated a salary 3 times more from reading your book, or I've been listening to the podcast you did with your 2 friends. And like, I've got out of a rut and I finally pitched myself, or, you know, just people securing their first ever jobs after being rejected 20 times.
Yeah.
Getting that feedback for me is always something that I've valued. When I worked in advertising, something that I struggled with a lot was you'd work on a project for 12 months. It would get distilled down to a 30-second TV advert. It would be on air for 2 weeks. People would see it or they wouldn't. And then that would be it. And you'd start again. And very often I just didn't feel like I was making a positive impact. I felt like I was just selling people things they don't need. Whereas now it feels like everything I'm giving out is a lot more considered and is there for the better and greater good, which I don't think you can always say when you're working for someone else. I think that's one of the most rewarding things for sure, is like being in charge of my own business and seeing these amazing results and being able to take my company in whatever direction I want it to. But at the end of the day, it will always be about storytelling for good and helping to change people's lives.
Yeah, it's a huge thing, isn't it? Like feeling good about what you do. And I've definitely had a lot of roles in the past where I've thought, I've looked at people around me and thought, I feel like a bad person for not caring as much as they do. Or there have been aspects of it that I've cared about, that I've wanted to do more of. And like you say, you don't have control of that all the time when you're in a role. So it's nice to take that into your own hands and feel like you're giving something back, doing something good for the world, help you sleep at night a bit better. And what are the things for you that impact your own mental health the most, do you think?
So I think it's really interesting. I've actually been going through it recently as two extremes, right? So you work super, super, super hard and you get burnt out, or you slow down where you feel like you're not needed enough. And that's like a really hard thing that I'm trying to navigate at the moment, which is like trying to say yes to a lot of great things, but not to the point of burnout. And then taking time for rest and thinking and all of those things, but then still feeling like I know what I'm doing and I'm needed and my business is still going somewhere. And it's been really interesting over the summer because it has been quieter and it has been definitely, it's quite seasonal work that I have. I think it peaks a lot during like September and November. And then between like February and March, it's super busy. And again, between like April and June, and then the summer and kind of winter, Christmas, that time are quieter periods. And that for me is where I have to either accept that rest or find other things to keep me busy, because I think that's where I struggle, is when I kind of lose that interaction with people. That's definitely something that I've realized, that daily interaction with people is something that I really need to feel good every day. And I notice it when, say, my boyfriend comes home and I've not spoken to anyone all day, how that affects my mood. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that I have to proactively ensure that I do in order to keep my sort of mental health in a good way.
Yeah, it's like the really common issue, isn't it, when you're self-employed? Because I loved the camaraderie of an office, like when it was good. But I knew that I wanted to work for myself. So it, you know, like doing like in-person events was something that I really craved, because I, like yourself, I love that interaction. And then I'll take myself out to coffee shops and things, but sometimes I'll just be at home and I have my dog with me, which is great. It's one of the perks of working for myself. But yeah, if I don't like have some kind of interaction with someone, even like a call, like a Zoom is great. That uplifts me massively. Like you just start feeling just like not yourself if you've not spoke to anyone all day, don't you? So. And the thing about rest, like I didn't realize a couple of years ago that rest was productive. And then I started on a whole journey of self-development, like starting with therapy in one of the lockdowns and then doing life coaching. Then I went on a retreat last year, which I've been on 3 times now, with this amazing breathwork coach I know called Bryony, doing her breathwork. And yeah, just loads of stuff like that. Confidence training I've done this year as well with a great woman called Kirsty Hulse. And yeah, you think that you have to be doing to achieve anything, but like this week, me not feeling that great, I've had to force myself to take things off my to-do list and be like, this is not gonna, like the world's not gonna stop if you don't do this. A lot of the time I'm giving myself these deadlines that don't actually matter. And because it's there on my to-do list, I'll get really stressed if I don't get through it in a day. But because I've allowed myself to rest more, because I didn't feel great, it's the only reason, I
notice how much creativity starts to really flourish, and you start thinking of loads of ideas in that space. So yeah, it's a really good
point. And also I did a podcast with my friends called That Feeling When, and one of the things episodes we did was That Feeling When You Have to Rest. And it was really interesting because we all brought resources and things that we'd found around rest that would be beneficial. And I'm so bad at resting that I like kept myself up the night before to find loads of resources and like wasn't rested. And it was like, and one of the things I realized was, or research and I found was that there's 7 types of rest. So if anyone's listening and they're not aware of that, just Google what 7 types of rest are. And that can vary from literally like, you know, like digital rest, screen rest. It can be social rest, which I realize it probably took me way too long to realize that so much of what my job is interaction, is talking to people, is public speaking. That then if I socialize on top of that and I don't have any quiet time, I then feel really burnt out and really exhausted. So understanding those different types of rest is really important to help you stay on top of your mental health as well.
Yeah, I saw the really good infographic you made about that as well. It's so useful because people just don't know about this stuff. And it's definitely about the balance for sure. And I think it probably depends like what type of role you work in as well. Like being a copywriter myself, just spending my life looking at a screen, churning out words. And I was like, no, this can't be it. So I need like definitely nourishment from other people as well. And what would you tell other people going through these kinds of issues? Because I find it's often what we forget to tell ourselves on our worst days.
Yeah, it's such an important question. And I'm always a bit hesitant to sort of answer in terms of like, I'm obviously not a qualified medical professional, but I think when it comes to burnout and giving yourself that time to rest, and the things that I've found beneficial is exactly what you've just said, actually, is like being able to take things off your to-do list and not feeling bad about it is a really, really important thing. Literally scheduling in rest in your diary is so important, like literally blocking it out of your diary and being like, no, I'm not going to take any calls between 3 and 6 on Friday because I'm actually just going to take the afternoon off, if you're obviously self-employed. I think if you're working full time, it's really important to share with people where you're at and expressing how you're feeling. And most importantly with that is because I think so many people worry that they're going to be seen like they can't handle things. But the biggest issue I've seen and I've experienced myself is that like you're busy juggling so much that you let something big drop, and then that ends up damaging your reputation anyway. So you're better off just expressing, I need more support, or I'm feeling stretched. And then at least you've got that buffer to allow you to make that mistake or to say, oh, well, I did air this and I needed that support. But I think having cared for a lot of people in my life, one of the hardest things is not knowing when they need that help and not knowing that I needed to ask them, how are they doing, sort of thing. And, you know, and that comes down a lot to the fact that we're not actually mind readers and people hide these things really well. So I think really asking for that help where possible and not seeing that as a flaw to your character is something that would be so important, I think, for anybody that's sort of struggling with that experience right now.
Yeah, 100%. I still need to get better at that. Like, I think I always had this image of myself growing up, like I'm so independent, I don't really need anyone, and I'm a helper to people. But then it's like some point, like, oh my God, yeah, I would really like it if someone could just read my mind and give me a hug right now. But it's like,
literally,
they don't know, and you don't always know how to say it. So it's a tricky one, but it's important. And what's your coping method when you're having a bad day?
I mean, I would say this is not inspiring at all, but food is always my go-to. I eat if I'm happy, I eat if I'm sad, I eat if I'm stressed. And this is also going to sound so basic and boring, but I know sometimes I need a break. And as a 90s millennial kid, I grew up watching Friends. And I honestly, if I put on one episode of Friends, if I'm in a bad mood, within 30 minutes, it's changed. And I actually talked about this on This Might Help with the fact that a lot of the time, the content we consume, we don't actually know what's about to come at us. We don't know whether there's should have been a trigger warning. We don't know if actually it might be something that upsets us or makes us feel something. And something that can be really beneficial for people when they're struggling with anxiety, depression, or that feeling of loss, is to watch things they already know the ending to, or the things that they're familiar with, or the things that uplift them. And it sounds so boring, but like, I can put on one episode of Friends, and for anyone listening, it's like something that you know you love and that you will guarantee to put a smile on your face. Mm-hmm. And I feel better. And I think so often there's that, oh, you just need to get yourself out of a bad place. And it's not that easy at all, but it's kind of trying to find those small pockets of joy that you know you can come back to and rely on. You know, that's why people always say to go and exercise, because you know within 20 minutes after you've done it, you're going to feel amazing. And yeah, same with just picking up the phone and speaking to someone, because I think so often, I talk about it with productivity as well, with work, is that like, mm-hmm, we sit on a problem all day thinking that we have to solve it. And then we have one conversation with someone who gets it. And then all of a sudden everything's unlocked. And I literally had this, like, all of last week, I was in like quite a, not a low place, but just quite worn out. And I just felt like I was constantly having to think of things, and I just wanted somebody to tell me how to do it. And I met up with my friend this week who runs a similar business. I explained the problem, and literally within 30 seconds, she was like, oh, just do it like that. And I just felt this huge weight lift off me. So I think it's really important to try and not solve everything alone, because you actually waste more time in the long run trying to do that. And exactly, mm-hmm, like you say, it can be really hard to ask for help. But I think that's something that really helps me when I need to get out of that space.
Yeah, it's knowing what's in your toolkit, isn't it? And I think that's one of the really good things about getting older. And, you know, people always say it, getting to know yourself better. But that's one of the reasons why it is so useful. And like you say, it's not as easy as just getting yourself out of it. It's little steps that are going to get you there incrementally sometimes when you're feeling low. And yeah, I love that about, like, a massive part of anxiety is not knowing what's going to happen, isn't it? And trying to sort of control the future. So having something like a favorite TV show where you know the ending, that's really comforting, definitely. And what was your biggest challenge during the pandemic?
Oh, I mean, there were quite a few, but like I said at the beginning, I'd quit my job to go full time with Being Humble, because I was like, now is the time. This is the moment. It's all going to happen and come into place. And I lost, like, literally overnight, like 6 months worth of business that I'd lined up.
Oh, wow.
And I had to pivot everything from being in-person events into online events. And I suppose it was just really knowing that I was going to be able to make ends meet at the end of each month. I was fortunate in the sense that I'd had an advance on my book. So I'd actually received a third of my overall fee ahead of the pandemic. So that was like a small buffer to keep me going. Mm-hmm. But it definitely wasn't going to be the thing that was going to fund me going on furlough for myself. So I think trying to get past the fact that the vision that I had going into that next chapter completely changed overnight, and I had zero control over it. And in fact, it just got progressively worse and worse, because at the beginning it sounded like it would just be a few weeks, and then it was months, and then it came out to be 2 years. And I actually did a post on it recently on Foot Being Humble's Instagram, saying about how difficult it was for businesses saying they had no budget. And I'd worked so hard to build up my confidence to ask my fees and to ask my worth, and they were basically saying, no, you're not worth it. And growing a business, which is all about believing yourself, self-worth, confidence, owning your narrative, having to show up at the same time for a community of people online, it was really difficult. I think that's probably one of the hardest things, being a motivational speaker and running a business that is rooted in motivating other people. The minute you're going through something difficult yourself, it becomes quite a struggle. And I think, mm-hmm, you know, naturally, as a result of the pandemic, there were a lot of people close to me that struggled with their mental health. So I think that also took a toll on how I was able to do my job. And I think I realized the impact it had on me. And I actually went to therapy during the pandemic to help be a better supporter for other people, because I felt like a lot was being piled on. So I think, yeah, it was both the lack of control in during the pandemic and not knowing, and the fact that this sort of fairy tale vision of what I thought the next chapter of life was going to be completely changed, and just the natural effects of the pandemic, you know, affecting so many people mentally, and all the trauma that everybody heard about in the news every single day. It was, you know, unavoidable. I think that was, it was hard to keep going at different points, but I remember my mum saying, if you can make it through the pandemic, you'll make it through anything as a small business. And I did. And the business this year is probably going to have its best financial year. So I think it showed me that I can do this remotely, and I can do this with, be flexible, and I can pivot my business. And it actually, I always try and look at the pandemic in a positive way, in the sense that, like, it showed me that I could do online events, which I probably would never have explored had we not have all been forced to go on Zoom every day. So there were a lot of things that I almost future-proofed my business without realizing as a result of the pandemic. And that, for that, I will be forever grateful of that experience. But yeah, it's not to say it didn't come with those, you know, highs and lows that a lot of people experienced.
Yeah, God, it was such a baptism of fire, wasn't it, for a lot of us. And yeah, I think the balance is tough when you are, you know, speaking out about something and making a business out of it. Like myself, like, I'm speaking about mental health to try and help other people, but I don't want them to think, oh, I've got it all cracked, you know. I'm sure most people wouldn't think that, but then you don't want to feel like you're being a fraud if you don't admit to struggling yourself. But you're also like, how much of myself do I let out just to help other people, and how much am I doing it and like compromising myself, making myself vulnerable, and that could actually hurt yourself as well. I don't know, like, it's a tricky balance probably for anyone, but I think definitely the best way that we can help people is by sharing our own experiences, and, you know, having that lived experience of what you'd already written about and put into the test, the strategies that you were telling people about. That's just going to strengthen your offering even more, isn't it? Like, being put through that and seeing what happens with it coming out the other side.
For sure. And it was a weird time, because I know for so many, it was a weird, so many businesses were making redundancies, cutting jobs. For me, growing a business in the career development space, it meant that so many people needed my support. And I think Foot Being Humble's following went from like 5,000 to 25,000 all organically. And don't get me wrong, like, I was pouring my life and soul into that social media account because there was literally nothing else to do. But again, that, like, not just purely Instagram, but just the general global reach, it was a real eye opener of like, this is not going to be just a negative effect on this is going to help me to see how I can approach my business completely differently. And that's something that I think not everybody got to experience, but I'm grateful that I did. And I've come out the other side in a positive way.
So I know you just touched on this a little bit, but I was going to ask, what was a surprise positive of the pandemic for you?
I think just, yeah, as I've just mentioned, I think massively from a business perspective, there were loads of things that I experienced that I think will have a huge impact on the future of Foot Being Humble, because it has made me look at the business in a completely different way than I would have before. So I think that's, from that perspective, it's great. And also just from a community perspective, I was so refreshed to see all the events and the things that were started during the pandemic and the discussions that were being had. While some of them were difficult, I think it was so important that we went through that. So I think, yeah, there were quite a lot of benefits. And there was actually a great blog that was done called The Silver Linings of the Pandemic. And it was things like gambling had gone down in terms of like people doing it. And basically each week this person would write a post on LinkedIn where they talked about all the things that are positive that had happened, which I actually really enjoyed, because I think during that time it was quite doom and gloom. But yeah, I think seeing how much community gathered around and supported each other, and also what the constraints that we were under meant in terms of how we would individually and with our companies. And I've been really interested to see how people have grown since then. And people are coming up with great, amazing ideas. I mean, I launched Side Hustle School, which was originally set up to help students, because so many of them were losing jobs, internships. They were just the first to get cut because they had the least experience. Yeah. And I've always really cared about supporting rising talent. So I decided to create Side Hustle School. I made the tickets super cheap. It was a 4-week course. And in total now, there's 700 people that have been trained through the program. And again, like, that insight was born out of the fact that people were losing opportunities. And if they can't get a job, then they could at least try and start a side hustle or learn what it would look like to do that. So all of these experiences, I think, absolutely at the time were solutions to problems then. But I think they're going to be really great kind of case studies of how to solve problems in the future as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it just made us try things that we never would have, like you said, otherwise. And I think it gave us so much shared common ground that, like you say, it just automatically sort of created communities, even if that was online. I was doing the podcast and I just felt it was nice to like feel so intimate with someone and really share this unprecedented experience that we were going through, but like really similar sort of struggles. Like, obviously everyone can have different experiences, different actual mental health conditions, but we do have a lot in common that we think makes us alone, but it actually brings us together when we talk about it. So But yeah, the Side Hustle School sounds fantastic. That's amazing that it's helped so many people, and it's really admirable to see supporting rising talent like that, because not enough people pull the ladder up, I don't think. And it's nice to feel sort of protective around like younger people who are coming up in the industries. I definitely feel that as well, and like see them start on their journey, and like, why not like share knowledge and insight around pitfalls and things like that. Like, I wish I'd had that 10 years ago, or read your book 10 years ago. Sounds fantastic. And what's one thing that you wish someone else would do for you when you're having a bad day?
I really like this question. I think just asking, what do you need from me? I think this is something that is so overlooked. And I think if somebody just says to you, what do you need from me? What can I give you more of today? What would take your day from a 0 to a 10 right now? Mm-hmm. And just really listening, I think it can be so important. I think something that I have to train my boyfriend on, like many men, is not finding a solution, but just listening. And I think, and I am quite solution-based as well, so sometimes I have to catch myself from not jumping to, well, you could do this and you could start this and we'll just go for a walk and that'll be all fixed. And actually, sometimes people just want to be heard. So I think trying to create that space for people to be heard and then really asking them, like, what could I do to help you today, is such an overlooked question. And I think it could help and resolve a lot of situations.
Yeah, 100%. It's, you know, I think I've been guilty of that even from the other side of it in the past, like wanting to help my friends and thinking like, how do we solve this? But it's just sometimes that can be triggering for people, or they just don't need that. They just need you to be there and not really offer anything, you know, just to offer support or literally ask what they need and do a specific thing that they need. So yeah, that's definitely a good one. And what is the best thing that you ever did for yourself, do you think?
This is a really good question. I realize I said this to everyone, but these are really good questions. So I feel like I don't get asked these questions a lot. It's often about my journey.
Yeah.
I think one of the best things that I've done, and this is probably more of a recent thing, is to tell myself it's okay if it doesn't happen again. What I mean by that is I've secured some really great opportunities, and I'm so proud of some of the things that I've done in the past couple of years in particular, but in the whole time of running Fuck Being Humble. And there's always this need to, well, I've done it once, I've secured this great deal, I'm going to do that 10 times. And if this doesn't happen again next year and I'm not booked all these different ways, then it's going to be an absolute failure. Like, I have to get these. That real like pressure on yourself. And what I'm starting to probably just express is more gratitude, and to be like, actually, I keep on saying it, when a good thing happens, if this is the only time this happens, I'm going to be really happy. And just that switch in mindset and language to myself makes me feel like I'm not competing with anyone. It makes me feel I have no pressure on me. It will not be a bad year if I don't repeat this, you know? And I think so many people a lot of perfectionists, because I have a lot of them in my life, but I've observed it a lot with people, they are held to a perfection high standard. And it's often because they have to achieve something and it has to be done regularly or consistently in order for them to believe it themselves. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think I've got to a point now where I'm like, if it happens once, I'll be really proud. And that's where I need to leave it. I always say to people, like someone asked me recently, what are your goals for this year? And I said, I don't really have goals. I have dreams. And the reason I say dreams is because I don't like to attach timelines to things, because I don't think it's that healthy sometimes. I think people, and a big part of that is, I used to work in new business and I had targets to hit. And when I didn't hit those targets, I felt so worthless. Mm-hmm. And I really struggled with, you know, having to go to my boss and be like, I've not met the targets, or yeah, knowing at the end of the year I wasn't going to get that pay rise because I hadn't met that target. And it made all of that hard work that I'd done every other day like redundant. And yeah, that's why I'm so adamant that in my own business I say dreams, not goals. I don't tell myself I have to do it every single year or every single week. And I actually feel very stress-free as a result of that. So I think anyone listening who is prone to putting on a lot of pressure on themselves is try to express that gratitude for just getting it that one time and be really proud of the fact that you did, and everything else is a bonus. That's what I always say, is going to do it once, and if it happens again, that's a bonus, but I've got no expectation that it will.
I love that. Yeah, that's the absolute key, isn't it? Just being happy with what you've already achieved and obviously still dreaming of more. But yeah, I think I heard you, I don't know whether you put it in a post or you said it on a podcast, but I heard you say it recently about not having those goals. And that was so refreshing, because society is massive on goals, like, and now especially, you know, everything around manifestation, which there are aspects of it I definitely believe in, but it can become a little bit rigid if it is all really specifically goal focused. And coming from an agency background myself, I know that anxiety of like having those targets, and oh god, just thinking about it, like thinking about those conversations and those meetings, and you're basically just reduced to a unit, or like a measurement, or how many numbers you've brought in, or what percentage increase you've achieved. And actually this ties in with something else I heard you say in a podcast that I thought was really good. Never let anyone else tell you what you're capable of. And I think when you are working to such specific measures of success in like an agency world, or when you work for someone else, that can really, your self-worth is really tied up in that. But absolutely, when you are working for yourself, or even just, you know, when you learn a lot of these things in self-development or whatever, how to be proud of yourself, you realize that you're so much more than that, and you can be capable of more than that. And actually the things that make you feel successful are like so different. They'll be so varied for everyone, you know. It's whatever makes you feel happy with your own self and what makes you feel content in life and feel like you've done good in the world. But yeah, that's a really great answer. Thank you. And what's one thing you'd want to tell the younger Steph?
I mean, you kind of already touched upon it, and I say this on a lot of podcasts, is that just never let anybody tell you what you're capable of doing. And I also think just leaving situations that really don't serve you. I was literally talking to someone about this yesterday. They were struggling with a toxic boss, and I was like, how willing are you to walk away? And they were like, very. I was like, well, then don't waste your time trying to change them. Like, just walk away. And I think walking away from situations, people, family members, friends, clients, whoever it may be, that isn't serving you in a way that you want to be, is just so important, particularly for your mental health, but for your own growth. Because I think we stay in situations for too long. And I talk very openly that I moved jobs like 6 times in 7 years. I run 2 businesses. Like, I am somebody that does need variety and has moved regularly.
Yeah.
But every time, those moves were definitely because I just didn't feel valued or appreciated. And there were opportunities to demonstrate that to me, and they weren't met. And rather than me feeling like I had to stay there and be a prisoner in that space, I just took myself somewhere else. And I think that's been such an important factor to my own personal career success. So I think, yeah, just never let anyone tell you what you're capable of doing. And please don't stay in spaces or, you know, communicate with people that don't serve you, because I think it can have a really negative impact on your long-term sort of confidence and how you see yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in work settings, there's like this overarching sort of view that you have to be loyal to a company, or it's sort of inherent, unspoken, like people feel guilty from walking away from someone else. But you just have to do what's best for you, and whether it's a company or whether it's anyone, you know, have your own back and know when it's not serving you, definitely. And again, I think that's another thing that comes with experience as you get older, maybe, because when you're younger, you just think, I just want to get as much under my belt and on my CV as possible. And I feel like I don't want to quit too soon because that's going to impact my future and all these kinds of worries. But it always works out if you just follow what feels right. I think listening to your gut is very important as well, that I've started to learn to do a lot more in the last couple of years. So what would you recommend for anyone wanting to champion themselves more as the first step to being less humble and more self-confident?
I would always encourage people, before you start self-promoting, ask yourself, why are you self-promoting? What does good look like for you? And what are you hoping to achieve in the long run to do this, right? Because self-promotion is something that you do have to commit to. It is strategic. It is a pattern. It's a behavior. And you're only going to do that well if you have a motivation that is really, really going to propel you forward and make sure that you do that. I think when people are just chasing likes and followers, it doesn't always serve you well. And it's very easy to fall off that wagon. Whereas I think if you're very clear on how you want to be seen, it can have a really big impact on how much energy you put into that. I talked about it recently, is like one of my biggest dreams was to become a TED speaker. And when I worked in advertising, I just knew that wasn't going to happen because there were more experienced speakers that would speak on behalf of the company. And that was a big inspiration to starting Fuck Being Humble, because I wanted the opportunity to do that. I've always loved TED Talks. I've always loved the thought of somebody thinking, wow, you know, you've got something so profound to say, you deserve to be on a TED stage. And when I thought about all the things that I bring me joy and I love doing, it was helping people, and particularly with selling themselves, because it's something that I enjoyed doing in advertising.
Yeah.
And so much of my self-promotion is geared towards that dream, because and that's been the thing that's pushed me forward. So of course I'm motivated to help people, but from a very personal perspective, that's been the thing that's like, right, this is why I'm getting up today, this is why I'm posting this thing on LinkedIn, this is why I'm sharing this video on Instagram, when I actually hate doing videos and it's something I've really had to force myself to do, you know. So I think when you've got that clear vision on how you'd like to be seen and portrayed, then that is the best first step, because that will be the thing that makes you get on with it and do it. So that would be my advice. And then I think where possible, don't overcommit. So again, very similar to what I was saying before about if you do it once and you don't have to have it happen every single time. So when I was working full time and I was trying to grow Fuck Being Humble, I remember saying, I'm going to do five posts on Instagram. I'm going to do one blog post a week. I'm going to do all of these things. And I did none of it. Within 2 weeks, I was like, this is not sustainable. Yes. So with whatever self-promotion you do, just set sustainable goals, because you just won't do it. So have a vision or a dream that you're working towards, but don't try and, it's like when you buy in January when everyone goes out and buys their running gear and they're like, right, I'm going to be so fit, and after 2 or 3 weeks at the gym they fall off because they can't actually be bothered. It's because people are like trying to get that summer body rather than trying to be fit all year round. And it's the same with self-promotion. It's like, if you're just trying to get followers and likes, you're going to fall off. But if there's an actual goal, then you will stay on top of it. But just don't put too much pressure on yourself, because like we've talked about, there's already going to be pressure from various external factors that you can't control. So when it comes to this, like, just set targets of self-promotion that is actually achievable and that you can actually maintain.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I need to get better at that myself, definitely. Just thinking about quality rather than quantity is really important, and just doing less things really well. And again, just giving yourself that space to think about why you're doing it, like you're saying, but then also to think about your reason for doing it and allow that confidence and creativity if it is something related to that as well. I was listening to a fascinating podcast yesterday, actually, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he was on Dr. Rangan Chatterjee's podcast, Feel Better, Live More, I think it's called. And
I love that podcast.
So good. Oh my God, I took so many notes on this podcast. They were talking about theta and beta brainwaves and how allowing the space to just literally do nothing and focus on space take you out of your anxious brain. I'm obviously paraphrasing here, but that is where creativity really, really breeds, when you're not putting pressure on yourself. And that is when you feel really aligned internally with what you want and your goals and everything, and when that can really lead to big changes in your life. So another thing I was going to mention, actually, about being confident, when you Google fuck being humble, it's so interesting to see what comes up in search results. There's like whole like WikiHow pages about how to be more humble, and then like, is it Forbes or a Time article about why being humble is the key to success. And I was just like, why is this the pervading view? It's crazy. Like, who is this aimed at? Like, it certainly can't be aimed at women, because a lot more women need to get more confident and people need to champion themselves more. I know it's not just women, but generally, you know, in the workplace. So it's crazy. Like, it just makes what you're doing all the more important and refreshing, and really change our view of what we think self-promotion is, and really champion ourselves in our personal and professional lives, because a lot of what you do definitely applies to both. So thank you for being such an inspiration to so many.
Thank you for the kind words.
And the last question, what's your go-to song or songs that always lift your day?
So I'm like hopeless stuck in my own sort of genre of music, from like 90s and noughties R&B, a garage, all of that has always been my favorite. So I would always say, like, even Gwen Stefani, Let Me Blow Your Mind, Missy Elliott, Work It, like, they were all Let Me Blow Your Mind was the first name of my event. It was the first event I ever ran on self-promotion. Yeah. I called it Let Me Blow Your Mind, and I named all of my songs after my favorite R&B lyrics. I always joke as well, Big Sean, I Don't Fuck With You is a classic when you're in a bad mood and you just need to blare that out. Yeah. I listen to that a lot. But yeah, very much that sort of like R&B, go get it, you've got this. Anything along those lines is my kind of pick-me-up song.
Brilliant. I've got a playlist that all my guest tracks go on, so I will add those and share the link with you.
Amazing.
Music's definitely so important, isn't it? Like, that can be a confidence booster in itself. Like, that can change our whole state, our whole mood, get our body moving if we have a dance to it. So I always find it really fascinating to see what people will say and why those songs are important to them as well.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of letting music help get you out of that space.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you very much, Steph. This has been really great chatting with you, and all the best with both Fuck Being Humble and This Might Help. I'm sure you won't need it, but I'll look forward to seeing what's next from you.
Oh, no, thank you so much. It's been so nice to chat, and thank you for inviting me on the podcast.
No problem at all. Thank you, Steph.
So there you go. That was Steph Sword Williams. I hope you enjoyed that episode. She is so inspiring, isn't she? And I really look forward to seeing what's next from her. And she's a fellow Northerner as well. Plus, we love a feminist on this show. I don't know whether she calls herself a feminist. I would hazard a guess that she does. But if you like the show, please review it on Apple Podcasts and rate it on Spotify. Have a good fortnight, and I'll be back with another episode on the 20th of December, when things are going to feel very festive indeed, aren't they? And if you want to see extra content from Same Shit Different Brain, follow on Instagram @SameShitDifferentBrain. Thank you.